Hallelujah. Well, good morning, everybody. And a lot of us are kind of, basking in the afterglow of what happened last night. And of course, Michael, Michael talked about, Matt Sorger spending some time with us last night. It was incredible. And, all the words of encouragement and prophecy that he had for people, as far as I can tell, all the different stories that, as a pastor that we're privileged to know, right? But the words that he had for people as he was going around the room is spot on, and it was like, wow, it's just another thing to marvel at what God is doing in our midst. And, we talked about how to kind of open our eyes and, of course, to have the eyes of our heart opened up to see what God is doing in our midst, amen? Because with our natural eyes, we don't see anything, but with our spiritual eyes, we begin to see every little thing that God begins to do in our midst, amen? And so, my gosh, it was amazing last night. But as we continue on with God's kingdom in Hawaii, remember last week, brothers and sisters, I talked about how I don't want this to be like a history lesson, right? So I hope it's not that, but I'm gonna throw out some more, dates and names at you and all that kind of stuff. But there is a spiritual principle or spiritual principles that are involved with what we're going to be talking about today. And it's amazing, just to be a part of the legacy that has begun over 200 years ago. Well, yeah, 200 years ago. Can we say 200 years? 200 years. So you guys know that it was 200 years, right? When and we're going to be celebrating that April 4th, right? In about a month, And yeah, can we believe that it's already March? Like what Jeff was saying, it's like one fourth of the year already flying by. So anyway, God's Kingdom of Hawaii, if we haven't met yet, I'm Pastor Glenn. And welcome, and thank you guys for worshiping with us here at Hala'iwa. So as we go into week two of God's Kingdom in Hawaii, Hiram's Crew, that's the title of today's topic. We're going to be talking about the first crew, the first group of missionaries that sailed to Hawaii, right? And can you imagine how brave, how courageous they were? Amen? I mean, coming to a completely different world, a completely different culture, a culture where you hear of barbaric activities going on and just completely, different food, different languages, all that kind of stuff, right? And these guys, for the cause of Christ and for spreading the gospel worldwide, literally, these guys sailed halfway across the planet in order to reach a people that was ungodly, quite frankly, amen? So as we introduce you to the new characters today. I'm pretty excited because they're great, great characters in the whole saga of everything that's going on. So Hiram's Crew, but just to kind of review last week what we talked about a portrait of the kingdom, and we looked at from 1820 to 1870, and how when Henry Opukahaia, he was all the way in Connecticut, and he had a heart for his people. And so we want to have a heart for the kingdom just like Henry did. Amen? But the portrait of the kingdom was when we saw the missionaries come and they began to educate the Hawaiians. They began to, they developed a written language for the Hawaiian people. So it was a time where a time of prosperity, really, when the Hawaiians began, reading and writing. They were highly educated. They understood the Bible. They could read the Bible. They understood who God is. And then they realized, kind of getting ahead of myself, that it all goes back to the one true God that the Hawaiian people used to worship. I don't know if you guys know that, but we'll get into that a little bit. And then we reviewed Ua Mau Ke'ea o Ka'aina I Kapono, right? All of us that were born in Hawaii, grew up in Hawaii, and for some of you that maybe haven't grown up in Hawaii, but you've adopted Hawaii as your home state, and so you know the motto. We know that the state of Hawaii, became a state in 1959, Ua mau ke'ea o ka'aina I kapono, period. Not so, right? And then we learned that it was perhaps ia Iesu Christo, right? The sovereignty, you know? It's not so much the land, you know, is perpetuated in righteousness, but the sovereignty of the land is perpetuated in righteousness in Christ Jesus. Amen. And of course, these were the words believed to have been uttered by Queen Keopuolani, right? She was the high-ranking queen of King Kamehameha I. Of course, he had another queen, Queen Kaahumanu, right? That was his favorite wife, and we're going to be introducing her to you in a little bit. But it was believed that Queen Keopuolani, that was the one that uttered these words, and what she meant was the sovereignty of the land, meaning the monarchy, right, or the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is perpetuated, is ongoing, yeah, prospering in righteousness in who? In Christ Jesus. And of course, back then, they had to be politically correct, just like today. So there was such thing as being PC back then as well. Amen? But this morning, brothers and sisters, I want to start off, of course, with Scripture. Judges 2, that's where we're going to launch from today. So as we go there, I want to open up in a word of prayer. If you could all bow your heads with me. Father God, we come before you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for what you have done starting last night into today as we worship you, that we have the privilege, Lord God, of worshiping you this morning, glorifying your name, because you said in your word, Heavenly Father, that as we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, you will draw all men, all women, all children to yourself. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again as we glorify you and worship you. And as we look into your word, Heavenly Father, continue to teach us, continue to guide us, continue to rebuke us if need be. And we do it. We declare all for your glory, Lord Jesus. And all in agreement say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 2. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give your ancestors. And I said I would never break my covenant with you. For your part, you were not to make any covenants with the people living in this land. Instead, you were to destroy their altars. Everybody say, destroy their altars. Now, if you're like me, brothers and sisters, if you're like me reading this, can you see the parallels between the Israelite people and the Hawaiian people? I see some nodding going on, okay? So I had to kind of do a double take, because as I was reading this, I realized that we were talking about the Israelite people, but thinking in terms of, you know, the context of what went on back then, even before the missionaries, right? With the kapu system and all that kind of stuff. We'll kind of get into that. But I see a lot of parallels, you know, and I hope you do too. As the Lord commanded the Israelite people to destroy their altars because as they entered the Canaanites were living, right? We know that the Canaanites were pagan people. They were evil people. They would sacrifice their children to appease their gods. That's how evil they were. And that's who God was addressing. Why? Because the one true God, in this case Yahweh, he wanted that covenant relationship with his people, the Israelites. Okay? You guys following? You guys with me? Judges chapter 2. So now we're going to go to verse 3. So now I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you. Again, we're talking about the Israelite people, right? But thinking in terms of the context that we're talking about, before the missionaries came, how were the Hawaiian people? Amen. So for many centuries, the Hawaiian people worshiped Io. He was the one true God. Okay, he was the supreme being, and of course, Io is represented by the hawk, right? And that's where we get Iolani, right? And this It's soaring above the heavens. That's kind of where the, what the name means. But Io was the one true God. So in reality, the Hawaiian people, going back to their history, was monotheistic, one God, the worship of one God, okay? So they believed, the Hawaiian people believed in life, all life flowed from one akua, from one God, which was represented in the daily lifestyle of the ahupua'a, which means district, right? Kamehameha grads, right? Right, ahupua'a, the district, from the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. Right? But we think about the district, Mauka, that's where we get Makai and Mauka, right? But they believed that all life flowed from one God, which was represented in the daily lifestyle of the ahupua'a. So you had the fishermen, you had the farmers, right? You have the livestock owners, and the whole village would share. I mean, that's how prosperous they were. Nobody lacked for anything. Everybody took care of each other, and that's very representative or symbolic or evident of the aloha spirit that we have, amen? So everything belonged to God and was harvested with his permission, and more significantly, the provision that God had for the people that he loved, because there was an intimate relationship, Io and the people. Can I get an amen? You guys see this now? You guys see the parallel, right? So each person took as needed and everyone shared. One people, one land, one God, one ohana. And that was the mindset back then. That was the culture back then, right? And it wasn't until the 13th, 14th century, right? Some of you guys know this. The 13th, 14th century brought a new religious system. From Tahiti came a priest, Pa'au, and a war chief, Pili. Okay, so these guys completely flipped their world upside down. Pa'au and Pili built heiaus, right, temples, for four primary gods. That's Kane, Ku, Lono, and Kanaloa. And some of you guys are familiar with this. Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, there were more smaller gods, lesser gods, like, you know, Pele, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? Amakuas and, you know, all that kind of, all those, the worship of lesser gods. But the religious system continued until the 1700s through the time of King Kamehameha the Great. Last week, we talked about how King Kamehameha the Great did not convert over to Christianity, right? But I still believe that God orchestrated the whole thing, and God continued to use Kamehameha the Great, whether he knew it or not, right? Because it was King Kamehameha the Great that united the entire islands. Yeah? And because he did that, it was easier for God to grab hold of the entire nation of Hawaii and convert them all to Christianity. You see that? That's pretty amazing, right? But Pa'au and Pili, right, they brought in all these gods and the kapu system, and you do this, you do that, and you die, and all that kind of stuff. And I'll share with you some of the things that went on. But after that generation, Judges verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10 says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. In other words, the Hawaiian people lost touch of Io, just like the Israelite people lost touch of who Yahweh was. It was severed, right? There was no relationship with the one true God. So examples of the kapu. The men and women had to eat separately. The food for the men and women had to be cooked in separate imu, or underground ovens. A wife was forbidden to enter the eating house of her husband while he was eating. Women were forbidden to eat certain foods, among which were pork. But Teresa, she cannot eat her bacon, right? She cannot eat bananas. She cannot eat poke. Teresa would have been grouchy, right? women were forbidden to eat certain foods, among which pork, banana, coconut, and certain fishes. Right? I mean, wow. Sorry, ladies. You know? A commoner would be put to death if his shadow fell on anything that belonged to the ali'i. Okay? So, of course, the ali'i were the chief, the high-ranking chiefs of the land. When an ali'i ate, the people around him had to kneel, right? Because he had to be lower than the ali'i. Offerings of pig, coconut, redfish, kumu, and ava were sacrificed to the gods before a tree was cut to make a canoe. Very superstitious people, right? In time of war, the first two men killed in battle were offered as sacrifices to the gods. Of course, the god of war was Ku, right? So again, these are just examples of the kapu, and if you broke any one of these, right, that would mean death, most likely. And so here is a picture, right? And I, you know, kind of hesitated to show this to you guys, but at the same time, when I was fourth grade, right, you have Hawaiian studies, in the fourth grade, I remember flipping through a book, and I'm like, looking at this picture, I'm like, wow, can someone actually do that to somebody else? How barbaric that was, how brutal that may have been, how gruesome that was, certainly, right? So the kapu system, which was brought over by Pa'au and Pili from Tahiti, was used to control people, much like Hitler during World War II, unfortunately. So we've seen it before. Kapu system, you broke the kapu, is punishable by death. Introduced human sacrifice to appease the gods, and we also learned that Henry Opukahaia witnessed his auntie being thrown from a cliff to her death for breaking a kapu. Right? What happened? I don't know. Maybe she had a dinner date with her husband. Right? She couldn't eat with her husband. I don't know what it was, but there it is. Henry Opukahaia, he witnessed that personally himself. Amen. Now going back to Judges chapter 2, verses 11 and 14. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. So again, you guys see the parallelism, right? You guys see the parallels? They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them. And they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Ashtoreth. And this made the Lord burn with anger against Israel. So he handed them over to raiders who stole their possessions, and he turned them over to their enemies all around. And they were no longer able to resist them. Okay? And so for centuries, again, until Henry Opukahaia appeared. And remember last week we talked about me go home, he said. Me go home, put Hawaii gods in fire, burn them up. They no see, they no hear, no nothing. We make them our God, but our God, he make us. So I believe what he was saying was we find our identity in who the true God is. Amen? And that he loves us, he loves you, and we have that intimate relationship with God. And we ought to find the love we are seeking, right? Micah talked about seeking this morning. We seek prosperity, we seek peace, we seek love. We can only find that in the one true God. Amen? And Henry Opukahaia realized that Io, Yahweh, the supreme being, right? And he used Henry to go back to Hawaii. Sadly, Henry never made it back, right? That's why we have Hiram's crew. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to God. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. Now it's interesting that that is part of the verse, but as I look back to remember the Kapu days, we talked about how Henry came from the wars going on because all the different chiefs were basically bullying each other. You wanted territories, so big gangs from all these different chiefs from the different islands would come and fight each other. And it wasn't until Kamehameha the Great, again, uniting, defeating all the other chiefs of the other islands and uniting Hawaii under one kingdom. Amen. But it was a time of war, a time of killing. Now, as we look in the news today, there's a lot of wars going on, amen? Amen. So Hiram's crew, week two. Number one, if you're writing in your notes there, you can go ahead and write, a life on fire sparks revival. A life on fire sparks revival. And I love this picture because you can't really see where it begins and you can't really see where it ends. It just goes on and on and on. Amen. But a life on fire sparks revival. So John Wesley, he said, to light yourself on fire with passion and people will come from miles to watch you burn. In a good way. Right? When you're on fire for Christ. Hallelujah. You will begin to do things you never thought you would be doing. You'll begin to see things you never saw before. You will begin to behave in a certain behavior that other people around you notice that, oh, you're acting weird. You're different, right? And that's because you are on fire for the glory of Christ. Matthew 5, it says, for you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. What's the sense? What's the purpose? Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So brothers and sisters, we are supposed to be light in the darkness. We are to live a life in such a way that we bring light to people who are in darkness. Now, what does that mean for some of us? People who are lost, people who are hopeless. You ever got around somebody who was constantly depressed? Right? And because they're hopeless, right? And then we come in as followers of Christ and we're supposed to be hopeful. Hopeful to the fact that we live in an abundance of overflow and our joy begins to overflow onto other people. Amen. What a great way to live. And some of us are saying, well, I'm not always like that, Pastor Glenn. I know. I'm not always like that either. Right? But that's why we come to church to get filled up again. Hallelujah. Yeah. So while thousands, and Hiram Bingham, this is Hiram Bingham, he said, while thousands treated the self-immolation, now that's just a fancy word of being a living sacrifice. Self-immolation, being a living sacrifice, burning passionately for the glory of God, right? Treated the self-immolation of the missionaries and the general plan of seeking the good of the heathen, of the Hawaiian people, at Christ's command, whatever it might cost, as truly commendable. Tens of thousands regarded it as foolish or fanatical, an uncalled for sacrifice of comfort, property, and life. And of course, he's talking about the people who were on the mainland. You know, like if the Lord calls you to go on a mission, right? And people think you're crazy. People think you're stupid for doing it. Why do you want to leave? You're comfortable here, right? You have a nice house. You drive a nice car. You have nice clothes, right? You have a wonderful job. Why do you want to leave all that to go reach all these heathens for the glory of God? And that's because they're living a life of sacrifice. Romans 12, amen, self-immolation. So I want to introduce you now to Hiram and Sybil Mosley Bingham. Hiram was born October 30th, 1789 in Vermont, one of 13 children. Wow. He attended Middlebury College and Andover Theological Seminary. That is the same Bible college that Henry Opukahaia graduated from as well, Andover. Second engagement to Sybil Mosley, now check this out, needed to be married to be a missionary. So he got married to Sybil. Then 12 days after that, they both sailed to Hawaii. How's that? And October 23rd, 1819, sailed from Boston around aboard the Thaddeus along with Asa and Lucy Goodale Thurston. So these were all part of Hiram's crew, the first wave of the missionaries. So they arrived on the Big Island March 30th, 1820, and sailed to Honolulu April 19th. In 1823, Queen Kaahumanu and six high chiefs requested baptism. The Hawaiian government banned prostitution and drunkenness, and he was also involved in the spelling system for writing the Hawaiian language, and he translated some books of the Bible into Hawaiian. Okay, so that's great, Pastor Glenn. I can read Wikipedia too. No, I'm just kidding. Right? No. Fascinating character, though. And of course, Hiram Bingham designed Kauai Hau Church in Honolulu, constructed between 1836 and 1842. And of course, you know, Giselle is very familiar with the church because you guys had a singing engagement over there too, right? For the high school, yeah. I remember that because I took the exact same picture from the same exact angle, although I didn't take that one. So Bingham used his influence. This is pretty cool. Guys, catch this one, that Bingham used his influence with Queen Kaahumanu to instigate a strongly anti-Catholic policy. Now, what was going on? There was a French missionary converting Hawaiians into Catholicism as well. But he was kind of going about it the wrong way. He was persecuting them. He was very oppressive at the time. So, Hiram Bingham and Queen Kaahumanu noticed that this guy wasn't a very nice guy, this Alexis Bachelot. You know, he wasn't a very nice guy, so they stood up against what was going on there. Amen. And so can you imagine, brothers and sisters, coming all the way from Boston, sailing around South America, the Cape of Good Hope, going to Chile, and going straight all the way to Hawaii. And that took them about 6 months. 6 months. On the love boat. No way. Check this out. This is a picture of the Queen Mary. Picture of the Queen Mary. This was their boat. You guys see that? Crazy, right? Honeymoon. Newlyweds, 12 days, celebrating their honeymoon on the love boat. Yeah? It looked like that. No, it didn't. It looked like this. That's what it looked like. Except it didn't have the fluorescent lights. Right? That's deceiving. They never had fluorescent lights back then. Amen. Imagine that, though, 6 months. So Hiram Bingham, he said nearly all the missionaries from the United States on resolving to devote themselves to the heathen, again to the Hawaiians, were strenuously opposed by their parents, relatives, and friends. Now think about that. You know, of course, traveling all the way across the world, but even making changes in your life, let's just back it down a little bit, right? All of a sudden, you quit drinking. You quit alcohol. All of a sudden, you wake up early to go to church on Sundays. Well, what about football? I can watch that later. That's why they make DVR, right? What about, you know, going to midweek? What about, you know, maybe going to the men's breakfast? What about joining an Ohana group? What are you doing? You're weird, right? You ever got like, oh, that's a cult? You guys ever, yeah? I was like, what are you doing going to church? That's a cult. You know, all that kind of stuff. Teresa, no, we got that. Amen. Opposed by their parents, relatives, and friends. Amen. Anyway, Hiram Bingham, he says, though leaving my friends home and country as I supposed forever, and trying as was the parting scene, I regarded that day as one of the happiest days of my life. Yeah. Number two, you can go ahead and write in your notes, a heart of service ignites salvation. a heart of service. There's just something about giving of yourself, amen, that brings joy. I believe it to be a mystery of God. I don't know what it is, right? When you're generous with your time, when you're generous with your resources, when you're generous with your affection towards people, maybe just giving somebody a high five, giving somebody a hug, and all that kind of stuff. There's something miraculous that happens. And I believe largely because as human beings, brothers and sisters, we're all created for connection. We're all designed for relationships, right? And I believe our brain waves, now this might sound weird to some people, but hey, I'm just going to go with it, that our brain waves are capable of connecting to the frequencies that are going on in heaven. I believe that. And that's why sometimes when people speak words of prophecy, they're like, how the heck did he know that? Or how the heck did she know that? Or how, you know what I mean? Right? Why is it some people that understand certain things about, you know, the spiritual realm and all of a sudden it comes to pass? It happens. And I believe because human beings don't use the majority of their brain. They don't. They use it for lesser things, right? Like playing music or typing on a computer or whatever the case may be, right? Speaking, talking, all that kind of stuff. All the lesser things. But our brains are capable of so much more. And why am I going off on a tangent? I have no idea. But a heart of service, connection, a heart of service, when we give to people, amen, when we give of ourselves to people, I believe a miracle happens, right? And it brings people to salvation. It brings people to know who God is, to know a deeper side of why we understand or why we believe in our faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Everybody with me? Getting too philosophical here? Okay, so here's a picture of who? Captain Cook. That's right, Leilani. She paid attention in school when we were young. Yeah, Captain Cook. This is the famous scene, Kealakekua Bay, right? When he was shot, okay, and all that stuff that was going on. Captain James Cook, right? 42 years before the first missionaries arrived, foreign explorers, traders, and whalers came to Hawaii. So we know that there was already contact with the haole, yeah? There was already contact coming in, and explorers and traders and whalers, right? Foreigners brought new goods, materials, ideas, and also diseases, which led to infertility of the Hawaiian people. So this is when we began to see their population begin to decline, unfortunately. So the Hawaiian population had been cut from 300,000 to 140,000 due to Western diseases. And brothers and sisters, we know that the common flu back then was devastating for the people because they never had that before, right? So Father God, we pray against coronavirus in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are coming up with a cure, a solution. So work through the doctors and the scientists. Amen. In Jesus' name. So exchange of goods and services, and of course, prostitution. Now, this is a picture of Queen Kaʻahumanu, right? She was the favorite wife of Kamehameha the Great. Kamehameha the Great died 6 months before the arrival of the first missionaries, and Liholiho, right, Kamehameha the Second, succeeded. Kaʻahumanu, the favorite wife, along with Liholiho's mother, Keopuʻolani, she was the one that uttered the famous words, Ua mau keʻea o kaʻaina I kapono. And Prime Minister Kalani Moku decided to abolish the kapu system from the land. Everybody say hallelujah. Right? Why did they abolish it? Because they saw that the foreigners did not observe kapu restrictions and the gods did not punish them. What the heck? Right? The gods did not protect the Hawaiian people from disease. Right, Judges, going back to Judges, verse 16. Then the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites from their attackers. Yet Israel did not listen to the judges, but prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors, who had walked in obedience to the Lord's commands. Now, you see where I'm going with this, brothers and sisters? Who are the judges in this case, in our context? Queen Kaahumanu, right? Queen Keopuulani, right? Prime Minister Kalanimoku, right? You see how they're beginning to rise up, ban the kapu system? Everybody say, rise up. Rise up against the kapu system, right? And of course, they told the priest, you guys know the priest, Heva Heva. These queens gathered their sons together and ate taboo foods with them to signify the kapu system was pow. Heva Heva, the high priest to the king, began burning the temples, dismantling the heiaus, and destroying the idols. Heva Heva began Heva Heva began burning the temples, dismantling the heiaus, and destroying the idols. The missionaries did not overthrow, we want to make it a point that the missionaries did not overthrow the Hawaiian religion, but it was the Hawaiian monarchy that abolished the kapu system. Amen. Dr. Holman, who was part of Hiram's crew, came with them to treat the diseased. Women established a school to educate to read and to write, to teach them the gospel against being taken advantage of by the whalers and traders. So even back then, unfortunately, there was human trafficking. Amen. Right? But we want to make it a point that it was the missionaries that did not overthrow the Hawaiian religion. Because in other parts of the world, right, colonizers came. And that wasn't necessarily the case back then. Okay? But it was the Hawaiian monarchy that rose up as judges for their people and abolished the kapu system. So number three, you can go ahead and write that a lasting legacy passes the torch. A lasting legacy passes the torch. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence, and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. So I want to leave with this. You guys are familiar with the Lama Lama torch? Pretty cool. Ingenious. Brilliant. The Lama Lama torch, right? It's a kukui nuts with bamboo. Kukui nuts with bamboo, and each nut, right, represented 5 to 8 minutes of burning, right? So you would light them, 5 to 8 minutes of burning. And then when the oil would drip onto the next one, it would ignite the next one, so on and so on and so on and so on. And so all the fishermen, when they had their Lama Lama torches, they would be out fishing at night. They would know how long they were out there, approximately, right? Because again, each nut was about 5 to 8 minutes of burning, right? So the idea, of course, brothers and sisters, is as we ignite ourselves, you guys see this, right? We get around together, we burn brightly together, and if one of us goes out, all we need to do is get around somebody else who's lit up, right? And we get together and we get lit up again. Amen. That's the idea of the Lama Lama torch. Everybody say Lama Lama torch. Amen. Amen. And of course, you know, just kind of finish off with this. Hiram's crew, which includes Thomas Hopu, William Kanui, John Honoli'i, and George Kaumualii, right? The four Hawaiians that stowed away along with Henry Opukahaia, right? So all five of them, you know, stowed away to Connecticut. Unfortunately, Henry never made it back. But because of Henry's passion, he wrote that book, right? Remember, he wrote the memoirs, and he inspired so many people, including Hiram and Sybil, but of course his Hawaiian brothers. And so they rose up and they began to speak for the Hawaiian people. They got educated themselves and they all returned back to Hawaii. Amen. But it was the passion of one man. One man. And so I pray, brothers and sisters, that you see that it doesn't have to take an entire army or an entire, you know, a group of people or an entire church to maybe make a difference in your family. But as we talk about changing an entire community, maybe changing an entire island, we talk about revival here in the islands of Hawaii once again, that possibly we could have another revival. Do you believe, brothers and sisters, that all it takes is just one person? God showed it. God proved it through Henry Opukaha'ia, right? Now, you don't have to be the one to, you know, get up on a ship, you know, and maybe sail across the Pacific or go to the Middle East or do this and do that and be a foreign missionary. Maybe the Lord is not asking you to do that. Maybe the Lord is asking you to do that. But all I ask, brothers and sisters, you just start where you are. We just start where we are. You know, like I said, in the beginning, when I first started walking with Christ, when I became a Christ follower, I wasn't going to go be a foreign missionary. No way. You know, I got to contend with diseases and different kinds of foods and diarrhea and malaria and all that kind of stuff, right? All that kind of stuff kind of goes through your mind. But you know what the Lord told me? He said, your first mission, Glenn, your first mission is to develop a discipline and to get to know Jesus Christ better. That was my first mission. I said, I can do that. So I began to make changes in my life. Later on down the line, I heard, okay, your next mission, Glenn, is you're going to be the best husband that you can be for Teresa. You're going to go nurture her. You're going to go take care of her. You're going to go get it right with her. You're going to continue to read the scriptures. So that way you catch my heart, God told me. That way you catch my heart for your wife, is what he told me. Right? Micah was born at the time. Misha was born at the time. Braden was still a baby. And he said, you know what? Your next mission, Glenn, is you're going to go and you're going to become the best father that you can be to your kids. And brothers and sisters, I took it seriously. Because I realized that they were my legacy. You know, and I was kind of sharing a moment with Bobby, Brother Bobby over here. He goes, wow, you know, after last night, he was like, wow, you must be a proud father. I says, yeah, I am. I really am. Because now, you know, when I can stand before God and I can go home on my deathbed, I can die a happy man. And I sincerely believe that. I do. Because I'm not going to live forever. God's going to call me home. God's going to call you home, right? But just like Henry Opukaha'ia, he wasn't planning on getting typhus. He was planning on going back home to Hawaii to share what he just discovered, brand new relationship with God, the one supreme being. He was excited about the gospel, but he never made it back. Why? Because we're bound by this fleshly body. We're bound to this earth, right? Yes, we are spirit, but we are also flesh. And so I believe, brothers and sisters, that your first mission, whatever it is, doesn't have to be big. We just have to move. Amen. We have to walk into the future. Understand that we are not walking alone, that we have the Holy Spirit along the way, and that the Lord is calling us for greatness. Not to glorify ourselves, but to bring glory to Him. Amen. What a wonderful way to live. Amen. Don't you agree? Let's pray. Father God, we come before You and we thank You. We thank You for history, because history is Your story. It's Your story. We go back, Heavenly Father, to whatever You originate, You orchestrate. And so, Lord God, we thank You for all of us being a part of that. And so as we come before You, Lord Jesus, we declare that You, the cornerstone, You are the firm foundation on which we stand. You are the firm foundation on which we build our lives, Lord Jesus. So we thank You for giving us a voice, giving us a voice to go out into the world to share with others who do not know You, Lord Jesus, of the love that You have, of the peace that You have, of the direction that You have, of the shalom that You have, Lord God. We thank You. We are grateful for all that You have offered us because of what You've done at the cross. And so if you're here this morning, brothers and sisters, and maybe you don't know this one true God. Jesus did say that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody goes to the Father except through Him. Jesus is calling you home. Because Lord, we thank You for the forgiveness that You have, the forgiveness that is available to everyone. Because You said, Lord, and as You have demonstrated on the cross, that it is impossible for sin to enter into heaven. Sin simply means, brothers and sisters, is to live a life apart from God. But can I remind you, brothers and sisters, that God wants the most intimate connection with you. God wants to love on you. God wants to show you. God wants to comfort you. God wants to show you a wonderful future ahead of you. And all we need to do, brothers and sisters, is to turn away from our old ways. Turn away from our old ways, as Jesus is calling us home, because heaven is our home. So if that's you this morning, and you say, yes, Pastor Glenn, I want to know the one true God. If that's you this morning, just go ahead and raise your hand. Yes. Brother, we see you. God sees you. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Glenn, I did know the God, the one true God. I do know. I did know who Jesus was. But for whatever reason, you kind of just slipped away. And can I remind you, brothers and sisters, that it happens every now and then. It happens every now and then. Sometimes we get caught up with the ways of the world, but because of God's mercy, because of God's grace, I want to encourage you to receive that again and come back to Jesus. Come back to the Heavenly Father. If that's you this morning, brothers and sisters, just go ahead and raise your hands this morning. Brother, he sees you. Sister, brother, you can go ahead and put your hands down. Absolutely. Absolutely. Receive the love of God that He has for you this morning. Amen. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, from this day forward, I declare that You are my Lord. And so I turn from my old ways and I turn to my new life in You, Lord Jesus. and I will never be the same again. As I walk into the future that you have for me, and I will praise you all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Absolutely.